Well, it's Friday, and we're back on the Bun Sports Show. David Sears is with me. Lots to talk about this weekend as we head into the college football Saturday. Many top 25 games involving top 25 teams, and we will get to those in a few minutes. First, some news on the expansion front. But before that, I just want to remind everybody that LSU and Alabama do not play tomorrow. So
they do not. That's very important because a lot of people are expecting that game to be tomorrow. And if they do tune in to CBS at 7 o'clock, you'll see some type of show that is not football.
Well, and I mean, I don't know if you want to walk your dog or something tomorrow for all day, but LSU and Alabama are not playing tomorrow. On the expansion front,
That they may just cancel every football game tomorrow in lieu of Alabama and LSU not playing. So that way, no one will play, so there will be nothing to overcome the hype of the Alabama-LSU game.
I agree with that, as a matter of fact. And I think, wasn't that a decision? I think that decision was made by Lou Holtz, Mark May on ESPN, the hype masters. It's actually very interesting that ESPN would be hyping the game as much as they are so far, considering it's going to be broadcast on CBS, and that's usually not their MO to promote things not aired on their airwaves. But, hey, it's the Super Bowl of college sports. Kind of hard not to ignore. It's like the World Series. I mean, it's on Fox. You have to. Freeze just hit another home run for the Cardinals, and they went up 11-9. let's get to this expansion stuff, Sears. Last night, the SEC website, and I've still got the page saved here. It's SECDigitalNetwork.com. It's the main SEC website. Posted a story dated October 22nd. That read, Tiger Tracks, Missouri joins the SEC. And it was a very extensive piece on Missouri being part of the SEC, University of Missouri, what you need to know. And there was even a report by Tony Barnhart, and he's taken a lot of flack today for being part of this. Well, it turns out it was inadvertent by the SEC, and they're paying a price for it today, PR-wise. What do you think about it?
I think it is a huge embarrassment for the SEC. I mean, I know they were trying to beat the Big 12 to the punch with the Big 12 officially getting West Virginia today, but the SEC need to go ahead and just get Missouri lined up, and I know they wanted to make sure that it was out there, but to have it and then have to retract it, that's always horrible when you're in the information business. When you put out a false report, it makes you lose credibility, makes you look bad, and makes you just not look like a professional organization, which right now the SEC, they look like they're getting left behind in all this expansion stuff. Their big get has been Texas A&M, and then after that, Missouri. Neither one are just dynamic gets. It's kind of lackluster, and a lot of people were hoping for a Florida State or Virginia Tech or someone along those lines, but instead they get Missouri. So
yeah.
Mizzou is okay, but I don't see how that helps the SEC at all, and I don't buy this whole, get you to St. Louis and Kansas City, because we all know right now St. Louis is absolutely enthralled with the Cardinals Game 7. They could care less about Missouri.
I don't even think they know what Missouri is right now. Yeah, but you're right. We had Gentry Estes on the show yesterday from Georgia 24/7, and he said he's hard-pressed to find anybody that's for this anywhere as far as fans. And of course Mike Slav will come out and talk about how great of an institution Missouri is and they have great academics, but last time I checked, the SEC's on a 5 national championship winning streak. I don't think academics had anything to do with getting those 5 championships. So yeah, I'm not for it. I wasn't for Texas A&M though. I think now that they've done that and they've taken the step to get the 13th team, it's logical to go ahead and make it an even number.
It is logical to get that 14 so you can have 2 divisions of 7, and now will Missouri be part of the Eastern Division, or will they bump over Auburn? We'll see what they do with that. Supposedly Alabama was going to vote yes for Missouri if they guaranteed Missouri would go to the East.
Yeah, not if Alabama they won't be going to the West as long as Alabama has anything to do with it, from what I'm hearing and from what you're hearing too. So we'll continue to follow that story, as well as West Virginia has officially been added to the Big 12. They come in along with TCU as the newest members of that conference, and it looks like they'll be losing 2 more. The Big 12 has lost Nebraska, Colorado, Texas A&M, and now potentially Missouri, and they've gained TCU and West Virginia. So you can make the conclusion on how well they've done so far in this expansion process. Let's look at some games this weekend, Sears, and I like to start with this one that involves a former Big 12 team, and that, of course, is Michigan State traveling to Nebraska. Michigan State's won three incredible games in a row, Ohio State, Michigan, and then last week against Wisconsin. Can they make it four on the road in Lincoln?
I like Sparty. I
really?
Think they're the dark horse team to win the Big Ten this year. And I really thought they had a dark horse shot at winning the national title. They'd need a lot of help to win the national title, but I definitely think they can still win the Big Ten. Nebraska, to me, has been overrated this year. Kirk Cousins is coming along, and that defense from Michigan State, it's bend, don't break, and they're able to hold when they needed to, and they kind of struggled those last two drives against Wisconsin. They had held them off for a majority of the game, but broke those last two drives, but their offense was able to save them on that great Hail Mary. And I just think that the Michigan State's got the mojo right now, and I think they're going to keep rolling and all the way into Indy and win the Big Ten.
Which was a better finish, the Michigan State-Wisconsin or Game 6 of the World Series?
Game 6,
yeah.
I think, was better because you were down to your last strike twice.
Yeah, I think you're right.
To tie the game up. You were able to tie the game up both times, and finally it's the first batter in the bottom of the 11th. It's a walk-off home run. So that's always impressive. It was a lot of emotion, just a great finish. And Michigan State was kind of sloppy there for a while. I mean, well, technically Game 6 was pretty sloppy till the 7th inning when it started getting good. But I think overall you got to give Game 6 for the World Series a better finish than Michigan State.
I would agree with you, and I am also taking Sparty. I think the matchup to watch in that game is going to be Michigan State's defense versus Nebraska's offense. How about a game that could be an SEC game next season? Missouri at number 16, Texas A&M, and as these two ponder their conference shift, I guess, I don't know, I'm going to have to favor the Aggies at home in this one, especially after seeing Missouri's lackluster performance last week against Oklahoma State.
Well, you got to remember last week Missouri was doing well against Oklahoma State. They just turned the ball over, and if they don't have those turnovers, that's a completely different game against Oklahoma State. I think that A&M will be playing better. They finally managed to get everything together since they had that bad two-game swing. We're blowing two second-half leads against Okie State and Arkansas, and I think they're starting to get their mojo back together. I like A&M probably by 10 points over Missouri. I don't think it'll be a big beatdown like Okie State did to Missouri, because Missouri still was able to play Oklahoma State pretty close last week, but I like A&M by 10.
Arkansas traveling to the Music City this weekend to play Vanderbilt, and this one could get interesting because Vanderbilt's defense has played well against some teams, and a couple of weeks ago it's against Georgia. They, by all rights, probably should have won that game. They blocked a punt when Georgia was trying to kneel on the football and did an unsuccessful job of it, and Vanderbilt, if they would have scooped that punt up and run it into the end zone, they would have come out victorious. They didn't, though, and they've had some games that just haven't gone their way this year, but nonetheless, they're 4-3. This is very dangerous game if you're Bobby Petrino in Arkansas, in my opinion.
This is a dangerous game. They cannot afford to come out flat like they did against Ole Miss last week and go down 17 on the road for a second consecutive week. They're trying to play their way into a national title game with some help from LSU beating Bama and them beating LSU. And they're hoping that they'll be able to get this mojo and build on last season's BCS game into the Sugar Bowl. So they're trying to play well. I think they will ultimately get better. I don't think Arkansas will have two bad games back-to-back. I like Arkansas, but I think that Vandy keeps it close. We'll see another 35-24 type game.
I agree. I think Arkansas will win, but I do think it's going to be a close ball game. Robert Griffin III now travels to Stillwater, Oklahoma to play the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and this is going to be one of those games that, you know, we saw it last week with Texas Tech going into Oklahoma and not only giving them a scare, but Tommy Tuberville's squad was able to knock them off. Now it's Baylor going into Oklahoma State. I just think this one's ripe for an upset, but I'm not gutsy enough to pick it. I'm still taking the Cowboys, but would not be surprised at all to see this one turned upside down.
Oklahoma State's defense has been kind of shaky this year, and I definitely think RG3 can exploit that. If I were going to look at this game from a betting standpoint, I would take the over. I think the over-under is like 71.5. I definitely think they'll hit that. There'll be a lot of points scored in this game. Both teams have great offenses and shaky defenses. So this game will probably be a track meet. I don't know who that favors. We don't know if they've announced if Blackman will be back yet for Oklahoma State. He's still having concussion-like symptoms, and they don't want to rush him back. So we'll see what happens with that. But it should be fun to watch if you like offense. If you're a defensive fan, I'd highly suggest not watching this game. But I think it'll be a high-scoring affair that I think Oklahoma State edges out like 42-38.
Oklahoma traveling to Kansas State this weekend, and this is a coin flip for me because Kansas State playing at home, they're playing well, and of course Oklahoma looking for a bounce back, but I'm just tending to think that Oklahoma is psychologically not where they need to be after that disappointment last year, just a meltdown in that game against Texas Tech when they looked really bad. So I'm going to take the Wildcats here at home. I like the job Bill Snyder has done, and I think they keep it rolling. At number 8, I think they'll shoot up in the polls in the BCS standings after this win. I like Kansas State.
I can't believe that this game's on at 3:30 or 2:30 in the afternoon here, and that Georgia Tech Clemson is on at 7. I think they should have flip-flopped that. Definitely like Kansas State, like you said. I think Oklahoma's in a bad place mentally. I think they thought they were invincible, and they had that horrible first half against Texas Tech. They played okay. They didn't play well enough the second half to pull back, they'll come back and win the game. But I think Kansas State's got a lot going for them. I think they're on the verge of one of those magical seasons, and I like K-State to win by a field goal.
Georgia versus Florida in what is not supposed to be called, according to the SEC, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. So it's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party that's no longer called so. We will... See, I think Georgia win this football game, and I think they'll win it pretty big. I think a lot of years of frustration is going to be unleashed on Florida, kind of like a couple of years ago when Alabama snapped Auburn's 6-game winning streak on them, and it was just a total beatdown. I think that's probably what you'll see here in this case, because Florida, they are searching for answers. I know Brantley is supposed to play, but I still think they're searching for answers in a lot of different positions. Georgia, better than they were when they lost those opening 2 games, so give me the Dogs.
I actually like Florida here because if Georgia couldn't beat Florida last year, there's no way they're going to beat them this year. I like Demps and Rennie to have big games. They're both, I mean, Demps has essentially been on the bench for 3 weeks now, healing up, so I think he'll be able to come back from a high ankle sprain. I think Brantley will be fine, and I think Rennie will have a big game, and I like Florida to win probably by 7. I like Florida to beat Georgia about 28-21.
Auburn needs a win bad, of course, after that last epic beatdown by LSU last weekend when they were taken to the woodshed. They get Ole Miss at home this weekend. Should be a winnable game. I'm taking Auburn, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think Ole Miss will hang with them, but I think Auburn will be too much for them in the end.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be a slugfest for the first half, then Auburn pulls away in the second. That offense for Auburn has looked atrocious. This is not something Gus Malzahn needed going into what was supposed to be a big offseason for him. Ted Roof's stock has risen. The defense has gotten better so far since the Clemson game, but their offense has not been there. Their offense basically has not been there since the first half of the Clemson game. And we will see what happens. But I think Auburn's in a lot of trouble offensively. They don't have a quarterback. They're just throwing in people trying to get something to go and throwing stuff against the wall to see if it'll stick, but nothing's really gone for them. I think Ole Miss will keep it close. I think Mackey's starting to get it together, but I think it'll be another like 29-24 type game for Auburn, and Auburn will win out on the plains.
South Carolina minus Marcus Lattimore traveling to Knoxville this weekend, which should be an interesting game. Derek Dooley's squad played a nice half last week against Alabama, but that was about it. Now they get South Carolina at home. This one could get interesting. I'm taking South Carolina. I don't know why, because I think Tennessee could very easily win this football game, and they're at home. But I'm going to still stick with the Gamecocks and Connor Shaw. We'll see how wrong I am next week.
Freshman first-time quarterback starting, burning the red shirt. For Tennessee, they're desperate for a victory. They need to get the ship righted. I believe it's 4 straight they've lost now. No, they beat Buffalo at the beginning of the week.
Right.
At the beginning of the month.
Three straight losses.
And they're 0-4 in the SEC. They desperately need this victory to salvage hopes of a bowl season. I think Tennessee's desperation will help them win, and I like Poole to have a big game. I think Tennessee wins a nail-biter 24-21.
And that would be the second all-time win for South Carolina in Knoxville. How about number five, Clemson undefeated on a magical run this season, but does their run run out this weekend as they go to Georgia Tech? I'm actually taking the Yellow Jackets because I think last week when they stumbled against Miami and they were looking ahead to this week, I think they've been planning for Clemson for a while. I think Clemson is a good team, but they're going to really have some defensive issues this week when they're facing Paul Johnson's offense. So give me the Yellow Jackets. It's in Atlanta. It's at night. I like Georgia Tech.
I like Clemson. I don't know why. I just think Sammy Watkins is a beast. Georgia Tech's defense doesn't really look like they could stop anybody. And I don't know if Clemson's defense will be able to hold Georgia Tech under 35 points, but I know that Clemson's offense will be able to score more than 35 points. So give me Clemson probably like 48-37 or 48-40, something like that.
Lots of points, no question about it. How about Stanford, number six, taking the road this weekend to visit USC? Lane Kiffin's squad with a 31-17 win over rival Notre Dame last weekend. Don't think it's going to be quite that great this week. I think Stanford will get them. Andrew Luck, I don't think it'll be a blowout, but Stanford, I think they want to prove that they can play in the national championship game if they go undefeated and the dominoes fall in their favor. So I like the Cardinal.
I like USC. I think Matt Barkley's got it going for USC right now. That defense is coming together. They were able to force key turnovers in the red zone last week against Notre Dame. Give me a big victory for Lane Kiffin and a 7-1 start. I think it'll be close, but I think Matt Barkley leads a drive that helps them secure the game late in the game. I like USC 28-27.
Finally, Sears, you of course played at Alabama. You're the Alabama guy here on the show, and let's talk about that big matchup next weekend, because that's all we've talked about. That's all that has been talked about nationally this week, is just how is it going to develop. Both teams choosing to play it a little coy this week, not doing a whole lot of preparation. Alabama, Nick Saban saying, of course, after the Tennessee game that everybody needs to just relax and chill out. As you've seen them progress, you've seen both of these teams a number of times. Just give us your opening thoughts on this game.
Right now, I'm leaning towards LSU. It's just Les Miles has had so many bad situations that he spun and turned into positive ones this year, starting with losing Jordan Jefferson and then having Jarrett Lee play great football, only throwing one interception. The way that the dual quarterback systems work so far for him without blowing up in his face. They lose a couple of players due to synthetic marijuana failure tests on their drug tests, and their backups turn out to be world beaters as well. I just think there's something about Les Miles. I think he's got it all. The stars are aligning for him this year, and I just think LSU's got something going. Supposedly they'll get the three suspended players back. We'll find out. We know they're practicing, but they haven't been officially cleared yet. But I think there's something with LSU right now. I don't know what it is, and it's just one of those things where LSU is just, I said at the beginning of the year, LSU would beat Alabama. I also said Tennessee would beat Alabama, so I was wrong with that one.
Yeah.
But I just think LSU's got the mojo going right now, and we'll see a low-scoring game. I mean, if I were setting it over-under, I'd put it at 41.5. I don't really think we'll see much scoring.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be a great defensive game. I think we'll see a lot of players just playing ridiculously well. And I think it'll be very interesting to watch each of these teams the next week. The winner trying not to be too high and the loser not trying to be too low. And it should be a great game if it lives up to the hype. But that's the problem. Rarely do these games live up to the hype.
Well, and you talk about that next week, and that's something that a lot of people haven't focused on to this point. But LSU really has a pretty simple road. They play Western Kentucky at home. They can afford to really sleepwalk through that game. Alabama, not the case. They travel to Starkville to play Dan Mullen's Mississippi State squad. And, you know, the folks in Mississippi would like nothing more than to get a victory over Alabama in that particular scenario. And I think Nick Saban's aware of that. I don't think he's going to allow his players to either become complacent if they win or not perform well if they lose. But I think that's going to be an interesting sideshow as we overhype this week. What happens the next week? Because this isn't a national championship game. It's not an SEC championship game. This is a regular season game, and there are still contests down the road yet to be played. So,
exactly. And the winner just gets an inside track to the SEC West. They don't actually win the SEC West outright or anything. So you win this game, you just won a game. You haven't really won anything. So I can look forward to the Nick Saban speeches if they win. What have we won? We won a game. We haven't won anything else. I mean, we still have to win more games to clinch the West, and we could easily lose the rest of them from here out. So we'll probably see if he says he doesn't give a rip again. So that'll be fun. And the thing, though, that I think Alabama does have going for him, if history plays a part in that, when Alabama has had a loss under Saban heading into the LSU game, they have lost. When Alabama was undefeated heading into the LSU game, they have won. So, what are they right now? They're undefeated. So, if history holds true to form, then Alabama will walk out of Tuscaloosa bruised, battered, but victorious.
We shall see. It shall be a great contest. Can't wait for it next week. And I'm sure our meeting on this program a week from today will be 99.9% about Alabama and LSU. I don't even know if anybody else plays next week, and to be honest with you, I don't think I really care. But anyway, we'll talk about that next week. Sears, another great program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, bud.
We will be back on, well, we'll be back next week, either Monday or Tuesday, to recap what goes on this weekend and, of course, to press the hype meter as we count down the days and the hours till Alabama LSU. Everyone have a good weekend.